Welcome, everybody, all you loyal steamers out there, to another edition of the Steam Room. This one coming to you from Miami. And it's the final episode of the year of season four. Charles, pull yourself together.
I'm so upset right now. I know y'all can't see me, but I got tears. Acting, the last Steam Room of the year.
Acting chops off the charts.
Man, I actually am being, it's bittersweet. Ernie, I told you, man, this is, when we started doing this stupid podcast, I was like, why the hell are we doing a podcast? And it turned into one of the most fun things I do.
Yeah,
we do.
I know.
And it's so awesome. I mean, and this is really bittersweet because, you know, we I hate saying this because it's just basically bullshit. It's the last podcast with the legend, Timothy Kiley.
Yeah. His segment will be coming up in just a bit.
Bittersweet. So,
because he's retiring.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, so last Steam Room, I hate calling him a legend, but he's a living legend. And I'm gonna miss TK, and so I got my first.
I'm almost too sad to continue, Charles.
Yes. Okay,
but I'll let you go ahead.
So the podcast is supposed to be fun, but I'm gonna start on a couple serious notes. Listen, I hate to address this again, Ja Morant. I'm not even sure. I think Adam Silver said it best. I'm shocked. I'm shocked more than anything. I just don't know what to say. And let me tell you something. I don't say that often. Man, Ja, man, you got to grow up. And I think Kenny said something we were talking about on the show, like, yo, man, at some point it's not your friends. It's you. And I don't want to dwell on it. Man, you just got to grow up. I don't know what the suspension is going to be.
What do you think it should be?
I think it's going to be at least 20 to 25 games. I don't have any inside information because the 8 games didn't do it.
You don't need to have any information on it. What if you were the commissioner?
25 games. 20 to 25 games. You got to send him a serious message, and you got to get him in some serious counseling. Because he only went to rehab or counseling for 2 or 3 days, if that. Because they say he went to rehab or counseling, and then 3 days later he was in New York meeting with Adam. So he didn't get anything out of the quite counseling or whatever he did. I would get him a serious personal life coach, somebody the NBA or the Grizzlies hired, not him and his family. Somebody who's a professional saying what's really going on here, because clearly there's something going on. So I wanted to address that. And I want to address the second thing, Zion Williamson. Yo, man, I don't know you. We've never met. You got to get somebody in your ear. I don't think the coach has enough power to tell you what to do. I don't think David Griffin, who's a friend of mine, has enough power to tell you what to do. But somebody got to tell you, like, yo, man, you got to get in shape, because you're going to keep getting hurt if you're out of shape. I've told this story a million times. I'm so blessed for Moses Malone told me to get my fat ass in shape and made me lose 50 pounds. It changed the whole dynamic of my life. And somebody's got to get in your ear and say, yo, man, you got to get in shape. You're never going to be healthy out of shape. You're too big to play basketball. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. It's positive criticism, critiquing. I want you to be a great basketball player. I've been in your shoes, being very talented, being overweight. And like I say, I thank God every day for Moses, rest in peace. Because if he hadn't took me under his wing, and let me tell you something.
You're playing the Moses role for Zion.
I would love to.
That's what you're doing right now.
Yes. And let me tell you something. I've seen dozens of guys eat their way out of the NBA. And it can happen quickly. Because once you start getting hurt, you're going to keep getting hurt, and you're going to lose your talent. So that's the first two serious notes I want to say to those young kids on our last podcast. This is the most important summers of both of y'all lives. The next 4 months when you're on vacation going to dictate the rest of your careers. And let me tell you something, guys. My first contract was 4 years, $2 million. I got in shape for $2 million. And Zion, you're going to make another $500 million. All you got to do is get in shape. Ja, you're going to make another five. Y'all guys going to make close to $1 billion. All y'all got to do is do the right thing. So, guys, I hope you guys have a great summer and get your crap together. Michael Block, man, I want to thank you for making the weekend so much fun. Michael Block is the PGA professional who, you know, if you know those guys, they don't play a lot of golf.
They teach a lot of golf.
They teach a lot of golf, but they don't play a lot. And they get to shine once a year at the PGA Championship. And I just want to, it was the first time, I think, since 1985 that a tour pro made the weekend.
The teaching pro?
The teaching pro. Yeah. And I just love the way he embraced it. The video when he found out he was going to be playing with Rory McIlroy is priceless. The hole-in-one reaction is priceless. And him getting up and down on 18 to make sure he gets to play in the PGA next year. Man, and I want to thank the fans for just cheering that guy on because, man, being a teaching professional is a thankless job. You're kissing ass with all the members, and a lot of the members are ungrateful. But I just want to thank you for making the weekend. And also, Brooks Koepka, man, I'm so proud of you to come back after what happened at the Masters. You were just awesome.
You know what, Chuckster, in all those years that we got to do the PGA Championship on TNT, one of the cool parts about that, number one, when you get to town and you're like Monday through Wednesday, you're just kind of walking the course, and you're inside the ropes and you're walking with some of these groups, watching them practice, you know, which is always fun. But part of what makes the PGA Championship cool is the addition of these 25 club pros.
Yeah.
And you would have a chance to meet them while galleries are all over the big names during these practice rounds. Then all of a sudden, and you'd see over here, you'd see maybe a couple of pros, and they would have one of these PGA professionals with them, you know, who sometimes it was their first time ever in an event like this. But to get to meet them and talk to them as they're walking and playing about what their daily life is like and what it's like to just, you know, they're in the spotlight here, but you're not there when they're showing up at 6:30 in the morning at their club and then getting ready for a day full of lessons and that kind of thing. And it's such a reward for them to play in an event like the PGA Championship and having that knowledge of their existence. Then when I watch Michael Block, it's like, how does it, you know, how did Michael Block even draw the club back on the first tee on Sunday playing with Rory as these people are going wild? That was so far out of his normal existence. I salute him.
But to see the pure joy when the guy says, you're going to play with Rory, he's like, are you serious right now?
Shaking his head and walking away.
And then
he still
couldn't believe it. He said, like, wow, let me take that in for a second. He says, are you being serious right now? And that pure joy is what I love about sports.
And then to have on that final Sunday, to have Rory McIlroy giving you a hug because you jarred one. No, you send that back to rewrite. Say, that's too corny. That can't happen. But it did. It was so cool to watch.
So shout out to him and Brooks Koepka. Congratulations, Brooks.
Anything else on that sheet?
Yes, I got three more things. I just say, I want to thank TNT for getting hockey. Man, the hockey playoffs have been amazing. This is, I don't even know the stats, but it's got to be the most overtimes ever. That's in the conversation. I stayed up and watched the 4-overtime game the other night, and it was incredible. Then yesterday you had the Vegas Knights scoring with 2 minutes to go and winning in overtime. And I'm so proud of TNT for getting hockey, and the guys do an amazing job. And I can't wait to watch. It's going to be cool for TNT. I mean, we're going to have the Stanley Cup Finals. Incredible.
The Stanley Cup will be awarded on TNT.
TNT. Yeah. I mean, to have the Stanley Cup Finals on our network, man, is going to be incredible. And I just want to say I'm so glad we got hockey. And the last two things, I just want to say, Jeremy, we gave Jeremy a shout-out last night.
Jeremy Levin, yep.
I just want to thank him for all his hard work the last 10 years. I know he's been with Turner for 23 years. You know, the people behind the scenes, you know, obviously I'm close with Alex and Underdog, but the people behind the scenes, behind the cameras, they work so hard. You know, we go on TV at 7 o'clock at night, and they're there at 1 o'clock. First of all, I have no idea what the hell they're doing for those 6 hours. Can't be that damn hard. But
it's a lot of preparation.
Yeah, okay, whatever. No, I just want
to... Joe doesn't do itself.
Yeah, take it. But I want to thank all the people behind the scenes, and I just want to give a special shout-out to Jeremy and thank him for some amazing years. It's been an honor and a privilege. And last and definitely least, Timothy Kiley. You know...
A legendary longtime producer.
The legendary longtime producer. This is his last show... And last podcast and last game tomorrow. And people know how close
we don't know if it's his last game tomorrow.
Oh, you're
yes, saying
we do.
The Celtics don't have a chance to beat the Miami Heat?
That's a hard no.
Okay.
That's a hard no. And I just want to, you know, people know that they don't know how close me and TK are. But man, he's been great for me. We've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of vodka, as he says, I said, vodka. And, it's been an honor, man. He's been a great sounding board. I've been calling the principal office a few times over the years about things I said. But he always, you know how when somebody kicks your ass as a parent and then they put the arm around you? Him and David Stern were probably the two best at kicking my ass and then putting the arm around me right after and said, that's it. So I just want to thank TK for, man, he is a legend. It's so funny when I'm around guys from ESPN, they're like, man, you guys are so lucky to have TK. And I say, yes, we are. So I just want to thank Jeremy and TK, especially TK, for being an amazing sounding board for all these years. So to those two guys, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And you'll have an opportunity, and I will also, to speak directly to TK before the podcast is over. So don't you guys go anywhere. We'll be back. We welcome you back to the Steam Room.
This is big today, Ernie.
This is big today as we continue from Miami. This is the first Steam Room, or maybe have we done the Steam Room remotely before?
I don't think we've ever. Oh, yeah. I think we did it in Chicago one time.
We did for All-Star Weekend, as a matter of
fact. So we got a very, very special guest. Should we go 2-time Super Bowl champion, All-Pro tight end, Saturday Night Live host? What would be the best way to bring on our next guest?
I think you've covered it all.
Oh,
right,
wait a
there.
Minute. Brother of Jason Kelce?
There you go. That's quite the introduction. And so we welcome Travis Kelce to the Steam Room. And we only have one rule, Travis, and that is when you're in the Steam Room, please keep your towel on.
Towel on, man. You never know who's got their drawers on or not, man.
Hey, Trav, I want to, number one, thank you for being on. So you're saying this is your first day back to practice going against defenses today?
Yeah, no, we're entering what would be phase 3 of OTAs, which is the off-season workouts. It says it's all voluntary, but you already know we're trying to go and get another ring, man. We're everybody's pretty much in the building. Pat Mahomes is out there leading us in practices, and Yeah, this will be the first day that we actually get to go up against a defense and get some competition going. Everything from when we started until now has just been kind of like individual drills and stuff like that, just to get the body back into playing shape and stuff like that. So, yeah, excited to take that next step and get even closer to the season.
You know, this is a very unique opportunity we have today because, Chuck, when you were growing up, and Travis, I don't know if you know this, Chuck wanted to be known as Travis. And did you know, Charles, that when Travis was growing up, he wanted to be known as Charles? Fill us in on your end of the story.
So I, when I was 5 years old, this is probably 1993, 94. I moved closer to the city. So when we moved, I thought it was the perfect time to tell the neighborhood or the kids that I was meeting that, you know, I'm officially changing my name. So I didn't love Travis. I learned to grow into it, I guess. But yeah, Chuck was my favorite basketball player. There were a few other Charlies that were on the movie screen that I loved too. But I mean, Chuck was by far my favorite basketball player. And yeah, I was telling everybody in the neighborhood that my name was Charles. We had a block party, and of course, all the moms and everybody are bringing their dishes or hanging out, and everyone's saying how nice of a young man or a young boy that Charles is to my mother. And my mom's like, "Where's this Charles thing coming from?" And sure enough, she found out that I was telling everybody my name was Charles at the block party, man. But that was the last time I told everybody my name was Charles. So thanks, Chuck, man. I appreciate you motivating me.
Well, I appreciate that as a compliment. My story goes, I hated Charles. And there was a great basketball player in my high school called Travis Abernathy. And I said, "Mom, can I please change my damn name to Travis? There's never Charles Barkley doesn't sound good." And I said, "I might become a great basketball player, and Travis Barkley sounds a lot better than Charles Barkley." And she says, "You're not changing your damn name. That's your grandfather's name." And we used to joke about it. She said, "Aren't you glad you kept Charles?" I says, "I'm glad I kept Charles, but Travis would have been so much cooler." But you know what's really funny about that story? When we go on the road to work, I'm working. I don't normally like to be bothered because I don't even go out and watch the game in person. I want to sit down there so I can look at what's happening on the court. And I'm downstairs one day, and they come and say to me, "Travis Kelce want to meet you." I said, "A great tight end?" They said, "Yeah, he want to meet you." I said, "Hell yeah, I want to meet him." And Travis comes down, and we have a moment, and we talk. And ever since then, we swap numbers and we text back and forth. And I'm so proud of his success. Now, my friends were so impressed after they won the Super Bowl the first time, I FaceTimed them. And I go to Vegas every year for the Super Bowl. My friend's like, "You're FaceTiming Travis Kelce right after the Super Bowl?" And man, it's just been great to be a friend. And I'm so proud of your success. I got to ask you this, though, because winning the Super Bowl for the second time had to be bittersweet, beating your brother in the Super Bowl. I mean,
yeah,
that's never happened. It never happened. Tell me about that experience. One moment you're happy, and then you got to go and give your brother a hug.
It was a weird feeling, man. It was a weird feeling. When I won the first one down in Miami against the 49ers, it was like everything that I had ever hoped it would ever be. And it was the exact, I would say pretty much the opposite, winning it this year in Arizona against my brother, man. Because you win it and you see everybody on your sideline getting excited. You see, you know, Coach Reed, Pat, and all your teammates, and your emotions are high, but you know that your brother's walking across the field and his dream just got ripped right out of his hands. And you don't know. There's really nothing you can say to a guy. I was just fortunate that you know what I mean, they played their tail off. They gave their best effort. It was one of those games where it went down to the wire, and anybody could have won it. It was just whoever really had it last, whoever had that ball last. So he had nothing to hang his head about. He played an unbelievable game. The Eagles played an unbelievable game. So you know, it's there's nothing you could say to a guy after he loses the Super Bowl that's going to make him feel any better, especially in the hype that was. You know, everybody tried to make it the Kelce Bowl, or It was just a unique experience. But the one thing that I remember the most about that entire week is the week leading up to the game, how much the world really appreciated and accepted my family and the you know, just the family atmosphere that me and my brother have, that me, my mom and my dad have. And to be able to put them on a pedestal and kind of shine light on them and how unbelievable they've been as parents and, you know, how fun it's been as a family growing with them. That was the coolest thing that I think I've ever been able to accomplish in my career, for sure.
Hey, Travis, in high school, you were a quarterback. So when did it sink in that that was not going to be where your future would lie in terms of football? And at the same time, as you talk about your career as a quarterback, what is it like to watch what Patrick Mahomes does in that position?
You just have to be a different type of professional to be a quarterback. You got to be, you know, kind of like Captain America. You got to do everything the right way. There's a certain image that you have to present, not only to the team and your teammates, but to, you know, the organization or the people that are following. I realized that I wasn't made for that, you know, not only because my arm talent was very average, because you have to just have this this entire, like, I don't even know what to say, a full package of like professionalism. And at tight end, you don't necessarily have to have that. You can kind of just show up, be you, have fun in the room and everything like that. You got to take it a little bit more serious as a quarterback. And I don't like to take anything that serious. So I realized that I could still help out the quarterback a lot and still have a lot of fun playing tight end. When I made the transition in college, it was like I found a whole new love for the game. I knew how a quarterback thought. I knew how a quarterback wanted to see things from the pocket perspective. And I just kind of adapted that into how I was doing things on the field, running routes and blocking for guys and things like that. So it was a blessing in disguise that you know, Coach Butch Jones took me out of the QB room and threw me in the tight end room. But like I said, I found a whole new love for the game when I moved into it.
You know, it's you're climbing the ranks. I know you got to be humble. You're climbing the ranks in the conversation as the greatest tight end ever. You know, you're on the short list with you, Rob Gronkowski, Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp. You comfortable with that as you keep building your resume?
I mean, I'm extremely comfortable with it. It's such an honor to even be in the same talks as these guys, man. Are you kidding me? Like to hear you say that, a very respectable, you know, an athlete that understands, you know, competition. He understands, you know, a good teammate when he sees one. He understands a good athlete when he sees one, a good professional when he sees one. For you to say that, that means a lot, man. And as like I said, as long as I'm in the talks with it, man, that's all I care about. I just know that, you know, I go out here and give everything I can for this Kansas City Chiefs organization, because I genuinely like the people that I go to work with, man. I love coming into work every single day, and I love, you know, running around out there and banging heads and scoring touchdowns, man. It's just it's been an absolute blast, man. So who knows if I end up taking the crown from a guy like Tony Gonzalez or catch Rob Gronkowski, if I could ever get as many touchdowns as him in my career, man, doggone, I might have a chance. But there's a lot of guys that I just respect in the tight end room that if I'm in the same talks as them, man, I'm doing something right.
Yeah, I got to ask you this question, though, because this one thing that annoys me about football. You, Jerry Rice, I don't even look at Rob in the same situation, but I always said to myself, why are these two dudes always open? Why can't y'all stop them? Because like in basketball, we can stop. We're like, let's take the ball out of this dude's hand. But when I'm watching you, I'm watching Jerry Rice, I'm just, yo, man, why are these dudes always open? Why the hell are you and Jerry Rice always open?
Oh man, then you just put me into the conversation with the other GOAT, man. I appreciate that. Jerry was so smooth in how he ran routes. He never kind of like tipped his cap on what he was going to run next. And it was a different day and age back then, but it was a running league back when Jerry was playing. So, you know, the box was full and you were really one-on-one outside. And I mean, you put Jerry Rice one-on-one with anybody, that's a tough cover right there. So I can see him getting open all the time. For me, I just get lost in the sauce. I get lost in the madness in the middle of the field. I manipulate linebackers and I confuse safeties. And if they want to go man to man, that's when my basketball skills, at least I think, that's one of my basketball skills come out of me is in my route running. If you watch me, it's like I'm crossing over, I'm hitting you with an in and out, but I never had the handles on the court. So I was just faking it till I make it, baby. But yeah, so that's, I don't know. I guess a lot of it has to do with, Coach Reed, this offense. A lot of what he does is very confusing to a defense already, and I just add to it by not trying to tip my cap on what we're doing.
Hey, Travis, I'd love to get to have you and Chuckster compare notes here. He's done Saturday Night Live a number of times. You recently were able to host that show. Number one, just in terms of butterflies, before you go live on SNL. What does it compare to football-wise?
It was like nothing I had ever experienced, man. That's why it's hard for me to say that it wasn't like the coolest thing I've ever done, because playing in two Super Bowls has always been my dream. But I secretly being on SNL, just being on SNL, has always been a dream of mine. So to be able to walk out of that door, walk down the steps and have a monologue and sit there and have the entire world in your hands and talking to them like they're your best friend. It's a feeling that I just can't explain, man. It's so freaking cool. And Lorne Michaels and everybody over at 30 Rock, they do such a great job of making you feel comfortable in what you're doing. Like that, the script that I had for the monologue that I had felt so genuine to me. And I could just tell the story how it is and tell the world exactly who I am. And it was just so much fun. But the dress rehearsal right before the actual live show, man, I was shaking in my boots. And I really don't get too nervous. I get more excited for opportunities than I get nervous for opportunities. And man, I was in my head about it all. I was trying to deliver the best speech, the best monologue that I ever had. And sure enough, I had a few hiccups in the dress rehearsal, and I knew that I knew what I had to do to you know, at least keep my composure for when we went live on Saturday night.
You know what's crazy, Trav? I know I can read. And I was like, I was so nervous to walk out there to do the monologue. I says, damn, I know I can read. Why am I so nervous? I'm shaking like a leaf. And I says, dude, all you got to do is read and you still nervous. It's crazy, isn't it?
Man, it's crazy. And I'm happy for you. At least you can read, man. I don't know. I might have missed that class a few times. And honestly, as you know, Chuck, there's the Wednesday before the show, you go through about 20 to 40 table reads. You sit there and you actually just read every single script, and you try to figure out whatever skits that you kind of fit with the best. That's really where you find out which ones are hitters or not. And I'll tell you what, man, I hadn't read that much on a piece of paper since high school, or maybe in college I read that much. I don't know. It was like burning my eyes how much I was reading that week, and it tested me in that regard. But all you have to do is read, Chuck. That was it, baby. Just go up there and just be as cool as the other side of the pillow, man.
How many times did they snatch your clothes off and they're screaming at you 2 minutes and they're trying to get your next outfit on? I mean, that was crazy. Like, you got like four women. One of them got, two of them got a leg, the other two got a shoulders, and they're like, 2 minutes. They snatch your clothes off. You're standing there in just your underwear, and they have to Velcro the next outfit on. And they're like, a minute and 45, a minute and 30, 1 minute. How many times do you have to do that?
Every single skit. It's so much fun. It happens all so freaking fast. You get yanked off the stage. You get thrown into not even a dressing room, just like a corner where the three girls or the four ladies that are helping you out, just kind of cover you so that nobody can see you. But I'm 6'5". I'm staring over everyone with my shirt off and nothing but my drawers on. And just like, hey, how are you? Just put a shirt on here. Don't mind me. Yep, she's zipping up my zipper and she buckles my button on my pants. I'm just like, well, I haven't been dressed like this since I was like 5 years old, man. But it was wild. It was a wild experience, man. And it was a roller coaster that I'd love to do again. That's how much fun it was.
So now you want to be an actor, huh?
I'll tell you what, man. If there was I've always had fun like imitating people, and comedy has always been, you know, my favorite style of movies or TV and stuff. And doing SNL just made me see it from a different perspective, a different professional like perspective. And it's something that if I do get into, I feel like I'm going to have to dive in deep and really get into my bag about things, trying to really take off with it. But I had a blast doing SNL. So I think that's something I'm definitely going to keep exploring.
Hey, you know, I want to ask you about your brother. Your brother called me last year. He wanted to talk about retirement. I says, hell no. I says, you can do nothing for the rest. I said, Jason, let me tell you this. You can do nothing for the rest of your life. Ain't nothing going to be better than playing pro football until the day you can't play anymore. And I said, dude, you can be a dad. You can be a carpool dude. You play football as long as you can, because once it's over, you're going to miss it. What does your brother mean to you?
Man, we've had such a unique upbringing. I don't play any of the sports that I played growing up without him. He's literally 2 years older than me. He started playing football in middle school. I started playing then. When he went to high school, we went to the same college. I followed him to Cincinnati, University of Cincinnati. Shout out to the Bearcats. And then Coach Reed drafts my brother in Philly. 2 years later, he goes to Kansas City and drafts me. So my entire life, I've just kind of been following these footsteps or these stairs to success. And my brother has just been leading the way, just being the bull in the china shop, just knocking all the barriers down and all everything in the room down for me to be able to just kind of walk in and live happy go lucky. And what he's been for me as just a brother and just a mentor in my life is one thing, man. But what he's done to make my life so much easier professionally. I mean, we just had Coach Reed on our podcast, New Heights, talk about, I don't know if he's drafting me without Jason, you know, showing his professionalism and who he was in the Eagles locker room and things like that. So he's the reason why I wear number 87. He was born in 1987. And I feel like that's when it really started for the Kelce Wow. boys in the NFL. So I have a lot of love for that guy, man. And I can't thank him enough for what he's been for me.
How much fun is it to do a podcast? Tell us about your podcast, the name and everything. I know about it, but tell our guys too.
The New Heights, baby, with Jason Kelce and my brother. My brother, Jason Kelce, and myself, we started it up just trying to, you know, I don't know, really just have a conversation. We didn't think it was going to be, you know, where it got to today. We wanted to find a way to kind of, you know, take our relationship and showcase it to the world. And it took the right production. It took the right people to kind of get it all together. And yeah, what we realized is that we hadn't had that much time to talk just football and life with each other our entire careers. And it's kind of like we sit back like, man, why haven't we been doing this since the jump? You know, I get 2 hours specifically every single week to just sit here and talk to my brother all the way on the other side of the States. And it just kind of brought us together even more. And I think the following that we have, the 92%ers that we got over there, they appreciate, you know, seeing that growth and us bonding and that sibling banter that that you see in a lot of households. And on top of that, man, my brother's he's a riot, so he's not shy to say anything on mic. You can check us out on anywhere you get your podcasts, or follow us on social media at New Heights Show, baby.
Hey, this the whole family aspect of this, and you kind of touched on it when you talked about the Super Bowl, but when you're on that stage, does your mind go back, not during the game, but just that whole time surrounding the Super Bowl, does it go back to those mornings where you remember mom and dad taking you to the rec league games and your, that whole vibe? So what's that like? How gratifying is that when you remember that and you think of the sacrifices your folks made to make sure you could play and that kind of thing?
Well, it really takes me back to the days where, because my dad was always very involved in, you know, the booster clubs in my the parent group that would help out with the football in middle school, and he was the one holding the chains on the sideline during the high school games, and so my father taking us to practice, making sure our pads were all set, making sure after a week of practice, bringing home the pants and the jersey and making sure we're washing them and taking them into, I'm wearing my jersey every game day on Fridays. All of it that week before, all of it, we had a dinner and the entire family was there. And it just felt like I was a little kid. I was like 15 years old. And I was just stuck in that world because everybody was able to see my family and kind of go down memory lane with me. And I was able to showcase, just how awesome my parents are. And not everybody gets to be able to put their family on a pedestal and get to showcase their mom and dad because of how amazing they are. And that was I was just so fortunate, man. And like I said, that's probably going to be what I remember the most about the entire experience.
Trev, I know how competitive you and Pat are. Don't lie. Tell the truth. How hard have you been working on your golf game getting ready for the match?
Chuck, I'm grinding right now. I've never hit the range like this ever in my life. I'm starting to figure some things out. I was out playing yesterday. I hit the range for about an hour, went out there and still shot an 85 like I was a scrub. I was kicking that thing right and left. And I on the range, you really find you think you find it. And then you go out onto the course, man. And for whatever reason, man, whether it's the lie or something, I always blame it on, outside factors. It's never me. It's always, the lie. I got to just keep practicing the different elevations of shots. And but I am getting dialed in. I am getting dialed in. I'm getting better with the wedges and off the tee. You know me. If I get off the tee, I can actually play golf. It's when I spray them right and left and I can't find the freaking ball off the tee. That's when it gets ugly for me.
Travis, I am convinced that there's some phenomenon at work where somewhere between the range and the first tee, something falls out of the golf cart or falls out of your golf bag, or no matter how you are striping it on the range and you say, oh, let's go. I cannot wait to play today. And then that first tee ball off the first tee is going to be one of them duck hook or one of these banana flares out to the, and it's like, where did that come from? I didn't hit a ball like that the entire time I'm on the range. It's good to know that there are other folks out there besides me who have experienced this phenomenon.
Oh yeah, I'm right there in the boat. That's actually why I've stayed away from the range. I don't want to mentally be in a place where I feel like I'm comfortable. So I'll stay away from the range. And Chuck knows this. When we played out in the Tahoe or out in the American Century in Tahoe, I'm going straight from the parking lot straight to the first tee box.
I may try that.
If I'm going to be on the match, I'm going to, be teamed up with Patty Mahomes and go up against, arguably the best duo that the NBA has ever seen, is Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I'm going to hit the range. I'm going to grind it out just a little bit before, but I don't know if I'm going to hit the range before the match. I want to be in a certain mental place that, I'm not getting frustrated with my first swing.
Hey man, I just want to thank you. I know you got to go to your real job. It's been awesome getting to know you these last few years. I'm so proud of your success. It couldn't happen to a better guy. The only thing I ask for you, I got to meet your mom. You touched on it during the podcast, watching her doing the Super Bowl, because obviously I'm an Eagles fan. And just watching her, I mean, my daughter, who's the greatest thing ever happened to me, I can't imagine as a mom and a dad having two kids, number one, go pro, but also planning the biggest sporting event in the world.
Against each other.
Against each other. So that's the only thing I don't want to borrow money. I want to meet your mom one of these days.
Man, it would be an honor for her too. You already know she would love to meet you. And, you know, it's so freaking cool. Saying how we initially met, the story you told earlier on the show, that was on the flip side. I was sitting there like, man, Chuck knows who I am. This is crazy. I wouldn't call my mom. Like, do you remember what I said to everybody when I was Charles? The guy that I was saying I wanted to be like, I just met him on the court. And he knew exactly who I was. This is crazy. So my mom knows all about you. She's known about you. And she knows about your big personality and how awesome you are. So we'll definitely make that happen in the near future, man. Without a doubt, baby.
Can't wait to see you out there in Vegas at the Capital One's The Match. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes taking on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. June 29th on TNT. You're a good man for hanging with us for a while today. Thanks for keeping the towel on too, Trev.
I'll keep the towel on all the time, baby. You already know it's a fun gig you guys got going here, man. I tell everybody all the time, man, I usually mute the games and then turn the volume back on whenever halftime and post game come back on, you know, just to see the real show on TV, baby.
Thank you, brother. Hey, have a great practice. We'll see you in Vegas.
You know, see you guys soon, man. Enjoy it.
That's awesome, man. It's so funny, though, how he wanted to change.
You wanted to be Travis, he wanted to be Charles.
My mom wouldn't let me change it, though. She says, that's your grandfather's name.
The legendary longtime producer of Inside the NBA, Tim Kiley, has entered the steam room for what appears to be the last time.
I'm going to let you use that this time.
All right. But this is it. TK is retiring.
Mold fart, Chuck.
Yeah, you got that part right.
So we have an opening on the steam room. If you'd like to be a special correspondent next year, and you are legendary in some regard, we have an opening. Applications now being accepted, and we'll be right back.
Congratulations, Ernie, to Charles. His voice almost made it to Game 4.
Yeah,
you know, made it.
It's still better than the old Chuck.
Yeah,
like the old All-Star Weekend Chuck.
Yeah, All-Star Weekend Chuck.
I told you, I quit
smoking
cigars.
Thursday, he sounded like Dikembe.
Well, you know, I've already said, man, we're going to miss you.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm going to miss you guys.
I mean,
we'll pop around, hang out.
Yeah, we probably can hang out more now than we did while we were actually working.
Maybe at the mall, a little Orange Julius.
Yeah, we go to Orange Julius.
Yeah,
we can go Chipotle.
That's it.
You know, I'm a big Chipotle guy.
Yeah, you're a big
guy. Oh, yeah, I love Chipotle.
I thought you don't eat guacamole there.
I don't eat guacamole. You know I don't eat that.
I know, it's green mush.
So. Yeah, green mush, that's all it is.
I wanted to mention something that Jeremy asked me, some ideas on best moments that I remember us doing.
That's no best moment.
No, that you. I know there's billions, but you guys brought something up yesterday. Tugboat Joe was one of the funniest things.
Joey. Yeah. Joey Underhill out there in the Bay Area. Yeah.
Talking to every girl on the sideline.
Oh my God.
Whoever thought that was appropriate to do, it wasn't appropriate at all, but it was just like
hilarious.
Was you. there's Joe.
I confess.
You know, it's so funny. You the question you asked, because it would be like asking somebody who their favorite kid was.
Yeah,
like, because that's actually when we did, remember we did the documentary on the show.
Yeah.
I forgot half the shit that we had done over these years.
Same here.
And I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm laughing my ass off. And for us to ask, for Jeremy to ask you, can you say pinpoint one of your, like, there's no way possible. Because that was stuff I was laughing at in the documentary that I forgot we did.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it would be impossible to pick out one favorite segment of our show. Even for me, it's so crazy.
Well, I have one of our, Ernie, you remember we used to do this, the way back, way, way back machine. We used to end the night a lot of times with, what did we learn today about Chuck?
Yes.
So there was always those types of moments where we found out he licks his phone to clean his phone or whatever the bizarre
He's
thing.
He's never
he does.
Used an ATM, doesn't yeah, wear drawers.
Exactly, no drawers. So anyhow, this is a quiz about season four of this
of
particular
the steam
podcast.
Room.
So are we ready?
So this is more of a short-term memory thing. Yeah, so we're probably
well, his age is we'll that's probably
that's
be
all
even
I got.
Worse
that's
than
all
that.
He got. That's
his
all
age
I got. I think
memory.
I remember my hotel room, but I'm not quite sure what
that's why they write the number.
I'm going to get nothing right here.
All right, Ernie, this is for you. In episode five, we learned that Chuck mistakenly dialed and spent 15 minutes on the phone with the wrong person because he dialed the wrong number.
Yes.
Who did Chuck intend to call, and who did he actually call?
You asking Ernie or me?
I'm asking Ernie. This is an Ernie question.
See, he actually called Mike Fratello, but he thought he was calling...
very similar sounding name.
Steve Fiorello.
Yes.
Yeah, Steve Fiorello, our director. He thought he was calling... He thought he was calling him to talk about what the Cleveland Browns or something like that, and then, but on the other end of the phone is Mike Fratello,
the ultimate butt dial,
and then Chuck never admits it. It says, "Well, good talking to you. Bye." So
it was hilarious. Yeah, and I could have kept it a secret and got away with a lot until y'all busted me on the podcast, and I was like, Fratello called me laughing. I love Mike Fratello, man, but that was hilarious. I played it off good. Hey, Coach, good to talk to you.
All right, this is for you, Chuck. In episode 12, Ernie, a rabid bird watcher, named his three favorite birds to catch a glimpse of. Can you name just one of the three
There's
birds
no
he
chance.
Likes?
There's no chance. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what birds I like.
Think.
First of all, what? We've already done first of all.
Think about Ozzie Smith.
No, I didn't know you could get any whiter until you told me you were a bird watcher. Like,
look, we've got a new crew here. We've got a new crew down here in Miami.
Okay, let me ask you.
Anybody like to watch
does anybody
birds?
Anybody here watch birds? Hell no.
Does anybody
There's no
feed
bird
birds.
Watchers in here.
Do you have a bird feeder at your house?
Hell no. Nobody got no damn bird feeder.
Nothing?
Ernie.
You don't feed birds. You don't watch birds. You don't enjoy when a bird flies down in your backyard and you can see it.
No. Nobody does that.
I guess I really am white.
As white as you can get.
Okay, I guess I am. I dress appropriately for the show.
About it. He has to go, not only is he sitting in his backyard looking at birds, he goes and buys food.
Yeah.
There's nothing whiter than that.
Where's my phone, by the way? it's over there. Got some new pictures on my bird buddy.
And you take pictures of them?
I got a feeder that takes pictures of the birds when they're eating.
Oh, that is
white as it can
top,
be.
Top shelf right there.
That's white as you can be right there.
You want to know what the birds were?
He doesn't care.
First of all, I can't believe it.
Eastern bluebird, goldfinch, and think St. Louis.
The Cardinals.
There you go. Not that tough.
I want to know how these birds got their names anyway.
I would think an eastern bluebird is blue, Chuck. Mm-hmm. I would think goldfinch is gold.
Well, how did it get the term eastern?
Because that's where they're from.
Does it stay just on the East Coast?
That's it.
Look at the cardinal looking at me, eating.
How you know that's a cardinal? That's just a bird.
Because it's a northern cardinal, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
See? It only flies
you
north.
You know what the app does? What? You know what the app does? It takes a picture of it, and it tells you what kind of bird it is. So there you go.
Episode 6, Ernie.
Episode 6 of what?
What did of this episode?
No.
Now you're throwing me off. I'm very nervous here. What did Charles suggest as a potential alternate name for the Steam Room podcast?
I don't care. He doesn't care about my birds. I don't care what his alternate name was.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
I don't remember what it was.
This stupid podcast?
The Pod Pals.
The Pod Pals.
Hey.
Was I here for that?
I just read them. I don't write them.
Okay. Let me tell you something.
Did he really do that?
Nobody used the word pals anymore. Okay.
Apparently you did.
No, we don't.
This is Mike Kaplan who keeps track of everything.
Look at this Eastern Bluebird.
Come on, man. This dude got pictures of birds on his phone.
Yes, Chuck, I do.
In episode 7,
yes.
Ernie recalls his favorite Christmas gift ever. What's the name of the battery-operated tank that would run over pillows and stuff that young Ernie loved so much?
He doesn't listen to what I say on the steam room.
What's the name of the battery operated tank that would run over pillows and stuff that young Ernie loved so much? A toy.
He's got no Tiger Joe.
There you go.
Tiger Joe.
All right, now we're rolling. I think Ernie's crushing you on this. Episode 7. Let's go to Pedro.
Hola. Chuck reveals that he played a musical instrument for a whole 3 weeks. Can I give you a hint? It's not vocal.
My man, Pete.
I love Pedro. What a good dude. The drums.
There you go. I think we're closing in, Cap. Are you keeping score?
I'm in the game, and I have no idea what the score is.
This one's another video with a question from about episode 5.
Who's this for?
This is for Charles. Okay. Let's go to the Road Warrior, your pal, your golf pal, Grant Hill.
Oh, God.
In episode 5, Ernie told a story about getting big time by a movie star while working for WSB in the 1980s. Which movie star snubbed The Godfather?
I just want to say this. I hate that guy so much right there. I hate Grant Hill.
Why?
This dude sends me videos every day from the driving range. Mm-hmm. He keeps saying,
and
he
then when the Black Masters rolls around, and I got a board.
He runs like the coward that he is.
Yeah,
he runs just like the coward that he is. But he sends me golf. He calls me when he's on the playing with his friends. He FaceTimes me, talking about I want some Chuck. I want some Chuck. And then every time the Black Masters rolls around, oh, I'm working, Chuck.
Board meeting.
Board meeting.
You're at a board meeting.
So I just hate.
So
Grant
what's
Hill.
The answer to the question?
Who snubbed him? What big, huge star snubbed him?
Remember, that's right.
See, he doesn't listen to anything I say on the pod. Any stories that I have are like,
I listen to you all the time. I actually get sick of listening to you.
What?
I do.
Probably the biggest grossing movie of that last year.
Maybe, could you give him some more hints?
James Cameron?
Avatar. Tom Cruise, you bonehead.
Oh, Tom Cruise, you're right. I remember that one.
Yeah, sure. Right. If you remember
Tom Cruise is on
if
my
you book. Remember it, where were we then?
No, Tom Cruise is on
where,
my bucket
where was
list.
I?
I hear that.
Where was I?
And you was working for a local TV station.
Yeah, but where was I when I got big timed or when I got snubbed?
Oh, I don't remember.
At Road Atlanta at the racetrack
right.
up
yeah,
there.
He was doing Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
He was getting ready to, so he was doing some hot laps up there. And there we were,
yeah,
me and Dave Darling, my photographer, right there. Tom comes out of a room. Hey, we would love to be able to talk to you about what you're doing. Hey, guys, let me, we're just going to go to lunch here. And when I come back, we'll knock it out. Didn't happen.
I would have went to
He
lunch.
Knocked it out. It was gone.
Yeah. It was gone.
Yeah, Tom Cruise on my bucket list.
All right. Well, there you go. It's round 4. Well,
even after that description of my encounter with him? Okay.
Yeah,
there you
exactly.
Go.
You may be surprised, Chuck. You might get the blow.
Hey.
Blow, bum.
The man was hungry. Hey, the man was hungry.
This is a toss-up question. First one to say the correct answer wins. In episode 4 this year, Bill Hader tells a story about being fired from his job working at a movie theater for spoiling
Titanic.
The end of a movie. There you go. Ernie's on top of it. Final round for Ernie.
Got fired for giving away the plot of Titanic to a bunch of sorority girls who had disrespected him as he was a ticket taker.
First of all, you don't have to be a road scholar to
rocket scholar.
I'm dumb as rocks, and I know how damn Titanic ends. A lot of people going to drown. That's like the movie The Alamo. A lot of people going to die in that little place.
Custer, they're coming over the hill. It can be good.
Like Titanic, The Alamo, spoiler alert, it's not going to end good for either.
All right, I'll say that Ernie's winning right now, but here's your chance to tie
him up. Well, it's like 18-3 right now, isn't it?
Episode 4, Ernie, Charles reveals an idea for a tattoo that we were all trying to forget ever since.
I
regret to ask you to remind us, but what is it and where is it?
It's on his backside, and it's mom or it's wow.
Depending on if you're upside down or not. It's mom. You put 2 M's on your ass. And just if you're standing up, it's mom. If you bend over, it's wow.
Wow, Mom. Look at my tattoo.
Poor late mother would be very proud of that.
Hey, Mom. Wow.
Just Chuck, last chance.
Last chance for what? He's
well, we're just
he needs like 18 runs in the bottom of the ninth.
Question. That's what we're going
so
for. This is
a
triple bonus question. Charles, what is the phone number for your answering machine?
404-870.
You dingus.
I don't know that.
987-987-0330.
404-987-4033.
Look at who I'm working
404.
With.
404.
Okay, nobody knows people's
Do we really want to do a season five?
Yes, we do.
This.
Do we really want to
do
a
season we want to do a
All
season
All I can
five.
Say is it, if they'll let me show up, I'll show up.
TK, you got to show up. Well, in fairness, not like you have anything else to do. I mean.
How are you going to spend retirement, TK?
I'm going to lose weight with some help from Charles, who's been giving me tips on his weight loss. Mm-hmm. I know that's a little scary.
So I tell you, obviously, I'm down 57 pounds now.
Congratulations.
I got to get, so I was talking to my doctor. I can't get to 250, which was my plan weight. So I'm going to get to 270. I started my journey at 352. I weighed in last week at 294. So I'm going to get to 270.
Ernie, I am going to go to Iceland.
Are you really?
Are you?
Yeah. Why not? It's like where the earth was born. So let's go see it.
Yeah.
Ernie, thank you for another
Love you,
great
TK.
Year.
Love you guys.
That's been a lot,
like
a lot
Ernie,
of
you
great
often
years,
say it's
man.
Like brothers. We're a band of brothers.
You yes,
got that
we are.
Right. You got that right.
Let's hope it ended better than that one did.
The answering machine, for those of you who knew the number,
hey,
comes your way next.
Spoiler alert, Titanic and Alamo go in the same way. A lot of dead people.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in the steam room.
Of all the things I'll miss until we begin season five of the Steam Room is your lyrical version of the
told you, brother,
the theme song.
You don't call me old brown eyes for nothing. Yeah.
You know, we always wrap it up with what we call Chuck's answering machine. The number is 404-987-0330. Between now and season five, you can call that. And leave a message even during the off season. Might be something that we can use for the first episode of season five. Am I speaking like prematurely saying there will be a season five? I assume there will be. Meantime, let's get to call number one.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Hey fellas, it's Stav, original oil steamer from Sydney. I'm calling to congratulate you on another wonderful season where you made us laugh and think and feel like you always do. We had a loss in the family recently, my uncle in Cyprus passed, which of course drew back into focus the most important thing, family. I'm curious how you block out distractions and frustrations, which in the big picture are little things. How do you maintain absolute focus on what's most important? Sending love from down under, Stav.
Stav is an awesome individual from day one of this pod, making us laugh and making us think.
Yeah. You know, number one, sorry for your loss. You know, and I'll let you take this because you've had a rough period in your life, losing your son, Michael. You lost your mom. And you lost your sister. How do you balance all that?
See, I was hoping that you were going to answer the question first because I was thinking about all of this because that was like that was in the span of less than a year and a half.
Yeah,
and you know, I think you number one, you realize that you're not the only person in the world who's
dealing
got
with stuff.
That? Who's got that? You know, and yeah, it's a lot in it in a short time because you're but I think what I've realized, I'm not trying to get over it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to deal with it. And there are going to be some days that really suck. And there are going to be times where something happens in the middle of a day that just blindsides you. And all of a sudden you're like, you're in a tough spot. But I think also just cherishing the memories that all three of those family members gave me in those moments from Michael and Dawn and my mom. And that gets you through some of those times. My faith sustains me and knowing I'm going to see him again. So that gets me through it. But man, there are just times, Chuck, like Michael used to love it when I would laminate pictures of cars for him, because one of our biggest things was to go to car dealerships and get brochures and then come home and he would pick out the pictures and he wanted me to laminate and then we would put them in a binder and then invariably a week later I'd say, you want to look at those pictures? He'd say, throw them away. And so all that work would go would be for a week's worth. But there are times I'll be in a store and I'll walk past a display of these new laminators and it knocks the wind out of you. So I know there's not an answer. It's like from one day to the next, you know, we'll get there.
And for me, I have to always remember, like, okay, I'm the leader. So I've been a leader of my family since I was 16. I was raised by my mother and grandmother. And so I've been really leading my family since I was like 16. And the one thing I try to do is everybody's looking around for me to lead. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I was like, I can't ever go crazy. I have to be upset privately, not when I'm with them. Because, you know, Shaq always has an interesting phrase, and I actually agree with it. He says, if the general don't panic, the troops won't panic. Mm-hmm. And I actually... I hate saying Shaq is right anytime, but I
but you're about to.
I do agree with that. And especially with my mother and grandmother, they were very sensitive. Anytime somebody died or something bad happened, I wanted to make sure that I supported them and stayed strong. So, hey, Stav, Ernie, the phrase Ernie, mom used my phrase, shit happens. And there's nothing you can do about it. But Ernie Diaz says something interesting. He says, stuff happens to everybody. And you just have to keep going. This thing, life, it's a journey. It's never a destination until it's over. But good stuff gonna happen. Bad stuff gonna happen. But you just have to keep going. Yeah. Plain and simple.
And don't feel like you have to put on this face of, everything's good. I'm fine. Look, there are going to be times where it's just, yeah, it's a bad day. Okay. You know, this is going to happen. And
my daughter has a phrase. She says, and Ernest just said it, sometimes things just suck.
Yep. Yeah. So there are days like that.
Some days just suck, plain and simple.
Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's just, that's the way it works. All right. Next.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, Ernie. My name is Hayden, calling from Swansea, Massachusetts. I was lucky enough to go to game one of the Celtics versus Heat game. Right before you guys went on the air, I saw Ernie, you gave each member a fist bump. But when you went to Charles, you guys pointed at each other and went, yeah. Just wondering where that came from. Thank you.
Hey, it comes from the great Pedro Martinez, who does that in our baseball studio. And basically it's this.
Yeah. We stole that from the great Pedro Martinez. I mean, we stole it.
And I don't know where Petey got it, but he does it all the time. And it's just so hilarious when he does it.
Yeah, and he's such a good dude.
Yeah.
And when I met him for the first time, I was like, I think I asked TK, I got to meet Pedro Martinez. And when you meet a celebrity or a star and they're awesome, you're like, man, that was great. And Pedro, we see him all the time during the playoff. We don't see him a lot during the regular season. And, man, he's just such a good person. And him and Grandy,
J-Roll.
J-Roll and Lauren Shahadi.
Oh, Lauren Shahadi is awesome. Yes.
So we stole that from Pedro Martinez.
Yeah. Next call.
Hi, Chuck and Ernie. This is Garrett from Tallahassee attending Florida State University, and I'm a loyal steamer keeping the towel on and tight. I love listening to your podcast and enjoy hearing the interviews and personal insights on multiple important topics. My question for both Chuck and Ernie, throughout the entirety of the steam room, which answering machine message meant the most to you or impacted you to where you felt like you have really made a positive difference to that person? Thanks, guys.
Oh, it's easily two of them from me. There was this soldier. One of my charities is Wounded Warriors, and it really bothers me how our government don't take care of veterans. And there was a veteran who said he was really suffering from PTSD, and he said he was really having a hard time. And he says, I stumbled up upon the steam room, and he says, I just want to thank you guys for brightening my days. He said, I was really having a hard time, and I just didn't know what I was going to do, and I stumbled upon the steam room. That meant a lot to me. And there was this lady who lost her job during the pandemic, and she says, you know what? I had all this free time. I started walking, and I started listening to you guys' podcasts. Those are two that stand out to me. To answer your question, I mean,
I can't remember specific names, but there have been several. And I think every time we hear those, Chuck, it's like, really? You know, we're just sitting around talking to each other for an hour and 15 minutes, you know, and like our show, it's not like we sit down and rehearse segments of it or say, we're just kind of reacting to what each other say and then drawing from whatever our life experiences are. When you get to be over 60 and you've lived a lot of life as we have, we've seen a lot of stuff and we're just kind of sharing that. And for that to resonate with somebody, that's important to us, not to make us feel like, hey, we're really doing something, just because look, we're all in this thing. We're all waking
up. Teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
The teacher who called in, and we had him on here.
Yeah.
He says, I indoctrinated your guys' show into my students. And you guys know Ernie's daughter's a teacher. Teachers mean a lot to me. So I forgot about him. But, man, when we get a call like that on the answer machine, it brightens our day, because I said it earlier, and I'm not even joking. When we first started this thing, I was like, shit, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do a podcast. And they're like, we would like for you and Ernie to do a podcast. And it's turned into one of the coolest things. Some of the guests we've had have been incredible. But the calls have been incredible also. And the thing that shocked me was when we started getting calls, none of them were from the United States.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who did Gladiator.
Right.
He called in and says, I was like, what? He said, I played this character in Gladiator. I'm like, are you serious right now? Somebody who's that serious, listen to our stupid podcast.
Yeah.
So, man, we appreciate you calling in.
Yeah. Just like, look, we're all trying to help each other from one day to the next.
Yes.
And there are folks who will inspire you today or tomorrow that you didn't see it coming, or they will have an encouraging word for you. So if we're able to do that every now and then and kind of help you through a day, man, that's awesome. Next call.
Hi, Chuck. Hi, Ernie. This is Nell calling from the mean streets of Milwaukee. Just wondering if you have any fun, exciting, or interesting plans for your summer.
Play some golf, probably, Chuckster.
I'm playing golf every day.
Hang out with some grandkids, Chuckster.
You know, this has been an incredible year, 14 months for me. You know, two people I admire are Ernie and Clark Kellogg. And we have been talking about grandkids. And I've had a crazy, amazing life. I don't go crazy or get overly excited about a lot of things. I mean, I enjoy them and they're exciting, but I don't go crazy. And Ernie and Clark would be like, Yo, man, having grandkids is going to be a life changer for you. I'm like, yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be pretty cool. But let me tell you something. Until you have grandkids, you can't even put it into words. And when I see little Henry now, he's 14 months. And now my daughter and her husband shocked me and named little Charlie after me, Charlie Eliza. I can't even put it into words. And now Henry is starting to walk and run around, taking a walk with him. I can't wait to do that more.
You should see yourself right now, man.
It's crazy. And, you know, and I told Ernie, I'm starting to act like white people now. Because for some reason, white people always want to show you their grandkids.
You're 10 times worse than me right now.
And I was like, I never got that. Because I've never shown, I don't remember showing pictures of my daughter when she, like, her childhood. And my white friends, they always want to show me kids how cute their kids are, grandkids are. I'm like, I know they're cute. I see them. Now I see myself. I'm showing pictures of my grandkids. Like, it's crazy.
Oh.
And it's amazing. So my summer is going to be spent watching these kids grow up. And like I say, little Henry's to the age where we can take walks and play around together.
Well, by the way, Chuckster, look at little Adler. By the way.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
This is Eric's latest, Eric and Quinn's latest youngin, Adler. This is just unbelievable. So you're right. And you know what it does, Chuck, and all you folks out there who may not be there yet, but might be. You think that you... What it demonstrates to you is there's so much untapped love inside of you that you didn't even know was there until now these new creatures are walking around, and I got five of those guys now, and there's this untapped fountain inside of you. There's, man, I thought all my love was wrapped up in my wife or my kids or my, and it's like, wow, there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty encouraging thing. You know, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, so a lot of two grandbabies, but a lot of golf. I'm going to play golf.
Yeah. I'll hit the beach, too.
Keep your shirt on, Kenny.
I'm not... Go to the beach and keep my shirt on?
Yeah. Kenny's got an awful body.
On TMZ aren't going to be following me around.
That's right.
That's a story for another podcast.
That's right. Yeah, TMZ's not going to be following you around. Good point.
That was a lot of fun, Chuckster.
It was, man.
Another great year doing this, man.
Hey, man. Thanks, everybody behind the scenes on the Steam Room. You guys and
our
girls.
Steam producer, Michael Kaplan.
Esteemed.
Oh, esteemed Lord. Room.
No, but thanks. And also, I want to thank all the guests.
Yes.
You know, because I understand... You get so many requests for your time.
But not many requests from Charles Barkley.
That's
the game changer.
But I do. I want to thank all the guests, like obviously everybody who work on the show. But listen, all the guests, man, I know you get pulled in so many different directions. Thank you for taking the time.
And thank all you loyal steamers for listening for another season of the Steam Room. We will be back in the fall.
Yes.
As the NBA season tips off again. Until then, here's a good idea. Just re-listen to every season of the Steam Room. That's a possibility too. Yeah.
And thank you, Travis Kelce, man. You're awesome.